Spotify's year-end wrap-up is a major success. The online grocery store with a twist. Plus, your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. It's also the place where I answer the questions you send me. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, and welcome to you watching on Facebook Live. We've got folks tuned in from the Inland Empire. Well, that's the only person. Oh, Canton, Ohio. So many people, so many different places. Can you tell I'm in a good mood today? I don't know what it is. You ever wake up and you just have one of those days where you're like, now I'm typically a positive, energetic person, but I feel like some days you just wake up and you're like on overdrive, right? Like things are just really good and you want that feeling to last forever. Like you just, if you could wait, if there's like a day where you wake up and you're like, this is how I'd like to wake up every day for the rest of my life, that would have been today. You know, you just like spring up out of bed, you go to work, you're smiling, you're happy. That's typically how I am. But some days are just like amped up, and this is really one of those days. So anyway, I'm feeling good. It's the end of the year. I can't believe that we are on the slow march, or really fast march, I should say, to Christmas and the holidays. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. As you know, I took off last week's podcast, or maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't care. You probably don't even notice. I don't know. Some of you did, I'm sure. But it was a nice Thanksgiving. We had a little technical issue with getting a ride home with the Uber and Lyft situation, but it was fine. We made it home, so that was good. And, you know, I didn't even talk to you about the whole Tim Cook interview. So, you know, I did this interview with Tim Cook at the Apple Store a couple weeks ago, and it was a pretty magical moment. I mean, how many local news people get to interview the CEO of not only one of the most, if not the most important tech company of our time, but also one of the biggest companies in the world. So that was pretty cool. It was not by chance. Some people were saying it was just by chance because it was cool that people said, you know, hey, he just walked out to talk to you. No, it was all, you don't talk to the CEO of Apple unless it's set up in advance. And so this was set up in advance. And I got to say, it was one of the easier setups. You know, Apple basically came to me and said, hey, do you want to interview Tim Cook? And I'm like, yeah, why would I not want to interview Tim Cook? And that was it. They said, okay, we'll give you a couple minutes with him. And they didn't ask for questions. They didn't say, here's the parameters of what you should be talking about. I mean, honestly, interviewing Tim Cook was easier than interviewing half the people I interview on a daily basis, where people ask me for questions in advance and what topics and what's your segment going to be on and what's the direction of it and all this stuff. And most of the time I just say, you know what? I don't really do that. Like, I will go there. You're the expert. I will ask you questions. You will know how to answer them. Rest assured, if you can't answer the questions that I'm asking you for a consumer tech audience, you've got bigger problems. And so that's kind of how I approach things. I think the Tim Cook interview turned out perfect, and it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. The whole thing I put up on there, and it was great. I mean, he was a very warm guy. He came up to me and he just made a little quip at the beginning, and it was just so like natural and neat. And I'm just sitting there like, I just want to have dinner with this person, you know, and like, and really pick your brain about so many different things. And of course I didn't get to do that, but it was fun to have the 5 or 10 minutes with him. And, it was great. And the store at the Grove was just so beautiful that they built there. But there's so many things. This is like the end of the year, so there's not too many like wild tech stories happening. So I'll be honest, this show is going to be mostly questions and also just stuff I feel like talking about. There are some tech stories and some things I'm going to note, but I'm just going to talk about the stuff that I feel like talking about because I've got a lot. I've got a lot on my list, okay? I've got it all right here. Can you hear that? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. It's all written on my computer. But number one, I want to tell you about, should we talk about a story? Let's get some news in because, you know, people do like news, but Black Friday, Cyber Monday, that was the big shopping season kind of kickoff. And then there was also Giving Tuesday, which I did give. I'm a big fan of giving, by the way. So I hope you are too. I really enjoy giving away money because, That's the ultimate in life, is to be able to give away some of the stuff that I've been given. And I've made it a big part of my life for many, many years now. I don't make a huge deal about it, but I love doing it. Like, it's my absolute favorite when someone's like, oh, I'm in need. And I'm like, oh, here's money. Here you go. Take it. Now don't come at me with like a million requests for that. But I do enjoy giving my money away as well. Okay, so Adobe Digital Economy Index. This is Adobe Insights. They analyzed kind of like all these things that people did over Cyber Monday and Black Friday. Cyber Monday was actually down year over year, which kind of makes sense given the economy, right? I mean, I think so. But still, consumers spent $10.7 billion online. It's still the biggest online shopping day of the year. At the peak, consumers were spending $12 million every minute. So some of the top sellers on Cyber Monday were for toys. They were Hot Wheels, Nerf toys, Baby Alive, Paw Patrol, Squeaky Toys. Oh, is that like the squeaky dog? Oh my gosh, I featured that 2 years ago. Awesome. That was at the New York Toy Fair. I totally called it. And Tamagotchi Picks, video games, Just Dance 2022, Mario Party Superstars. You know, I now say Mario. This is like what happens when you live in California. Like, I've said Mario for like my entire life. Like, Mario. And people are like, it's not Mario, it's Mario. And so now I say Mario. I don't even know who I am anymore. Spider-Man, Miles Morales, FIFA 22, and Metroid Dread. Now, when it came to electronics, which of course, you know, I like, AirPods, Apple Watches, Apple Pencils, laptops from HP, Lenovo, and Dell, Nintendo Switch and Switch Lite, Xbox Series S, because clearly you can't get the other ones anyway, and Oculus Quest 2, and then TVs from Sony and Samsung. So that's kind of the main points of Cyber Monday. Discounts remained weak. So discounts were at around 12% for electronics versus 27% last year. So if you kind of notice that the discounts were not as prevalent this year, you are not alone. They just weren't there. I mean, think about the economy we have right now. There's a lot going on with the supply chain and with, you know, people, just the whole situation with just, it's more complicated than I can get into, but it doesn't seem like everything's firing on all cylinders right now, right? So it seems like retailers don't have that big of an incentive to kind of discount things when just sales right now are kind of insane in general. Oh, if I shake the camera, I'm sorry, on the Facebook Live here. Let's get to, without further ado, the first question of the podcast. And it is coming today from, let's see, Valerie. Valerie says, hey, Rich, how do you report a fake Gmail account? An identity thief is impersonating my mom and has set up a fake Gmail account using her name. Thank you, Valerie. Well, I did some research, and it turns out there's actually a situation or a help page where you can report abuse. And it's basically support.google.com/mail/contact/abuse. And when you go to that page, it says, I would like to report a Gmail user who has sent messages that violate the Gmail program policies and or terms of use. And you put in the email address of you. You put in the email address of the person involved in the incident, the headers of the questionable message, the subject line, the content, and did the message appear to be from someone impersonating Google? Now, here's the deal. Is Google going to take action immediately? Probably not. You might have a better chance just like reporting this as spam every time. And it's kind of weird. I mean, I've not really heard about many people impersonating people with a fake Gmail account. I mean, that would need like a very specific use. But yeah, that's how I would just report it and see what happens. You know what? Let's just take some questions from the comments as well on the Facebook. Cynthia says, recommendations for AirPods. It'll be the first time I've ever used them, and I trust you. Thanks, from Silmar. I'm a big fan of the AirPods 3 right now. Those are the newest AirPods. They're on sale at a lot of places for $150 right now, including Amazon and Walmart. They are typically $180. And so I would get the AirPods 3 if you're on iPhone. If you're on Android, I really like the OnePlus Buds Pro. Those are really nice. And I believe they've gone down as low as $100, but I think they're $150 typically. I like the AirPods Pro, the AirPods 3 a little bit better than the AirPods Pro, because they don't have the noise cancellation. And the noise cancellation sort of sucks in your ears. Like, I can't explain, but it just feels like your ears are filled up, almost like you're underwater. And it's great for listening and being directed in your listening, but it's not so good for that feeling in your ears. I don't like that feeling in my ears where they're all sort of like closed up. I like to be able to hear what's going on around me. And that's kind of why I prefer the AirPods 3. Now, the reason why I liked the AirPods Pro for so many years was the fit. The fit of the AirPods Pro is unsurpassed. I've not found a pair of earbuds that fit better in my ears than the AirPods Pro. But I find that the AirPods 3 fit in my ears just fine. They're maybe not as comfortable, but they seem just fine. And so I'm not too concerned with recommending those. Okay. Big story of the week that I don't think is very important to 99.9% of people, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey stepped down. He is now being replaced by the CTO of Twitter, Parag Agrawal, and that's it. That's all you really need to know. There's nothing really you need to know about this, except that Dorsey is now stepping up work on his other app, which is Square, and he changed the name of that to Block to represent his whole, kind of push to crypto. But there's really not much you need to know. I mean, Twitter is going to continue to be Twitter. I don't see Twitter. I love Twitter, but I don't see it as the dominant social network out there. I mean, I think Facebook is still dominant. Instagram is very dominant, and TikTok is really, really up and coming. Although, my feeling on TikTok is I love it, and I actually put it on my home screen because I'm watching more and more of it. But the thing you have to worry about with TikTok is misinformation. I mean, we saw that whole situation with social media in general, but it's happening on TikTok. I mean, there was this whole TikTok going through where people were like, did I already talk about this, where they were cutting open the iPhone boxes to find a secret case inside? And there's just so much stuff on there. I feel like everything that I'm watching on there, half the time after I watch these little videos, is I need to like go do a fact check on these videos, because I'm like, wait, is that true? Is that real? They do these things where these people are like, I'm returning this product, or I'm going to Starbucks, and it turns out I read the fine print, and anything you buy at Starbucks, I can go in and get a free refill on my coffee, even if I didn't order that drink. And I'm like, is that so? Now people are probably going to Starbucks in mass and, you know, ordering, saying, oh, I saw this thing where I can get a free refill. And they're like, no. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But the point is, it's getting very complicated. And a lot of young people are watching TikTok. And so, like, my kids are watching, like, the shorts on YouTube and stuff, which are fun. But you just have to be, you know, it's just, as we go down this line of just information at our fingertips from so many different sources, it's really tough to know what is real and what is not. And I know, I get it, there's a whole political side to this thing with the last couple of years, but this is not just politics. This is everything. And so it's just like, you know, it's so many different little things are to me are being questioned in these videos. And I'm like, I like it. It's entertaining, but is it real? But anyway, so Twitter will continue to be Twitter. You know, if you use Square for some of your business-related stuff, especially the Cash App, these will change names to Block very soon. So just be aware of that. Oh, by the way, why did he step down? He just said that he didn't like the idea of a company being founder-led, because it kind of doesn't open up that company to more possibilities of different ideas and varying thoughts. So that's kind of the thought there. All right, let's get to the next question of the show. Let's see. We don't have a name on this one, but hello, Mr. DeMuro. I am a KTLA viewer, and there was a segment you did a few months back on Wi-Fi extenders. I remember seeing it on your Instagram. Can you share the Wi-Fi extender? It was like a generic one compared to the more expensive brand. I tried looking on Instagram. I could not find it. The company is Vilo, V-I-L-O. And so we did a story on Vilo, and it's a mesh Wi-Fi system that is basically $60 to $70 versus, you know, a couple hundred dollars for some of the other ones. And so it's V-I-L-O, Vilo Living is their website. And I got to say, I was impressed. Now, here's the thing. I use Eero at my house, Eero Pro, actually, the latest version, and it's a much more expensive system, but it depends on the speed you have. So if you have under a gigabit, so if you're not running 1,000 speed, then yes, this Villa will be just great. And it what it does is it has three different little antennas that you put around your house. They all work together to give you a nice strong signal throughout your house versus a standard router that, you know, your cable company might give you that just sits under your TV and it just broadcasts out and the signal kind of drops off as you get around the corners of your home. So in this setup with the mesh Wi-Fi systems, the signal is much stronger around your house, better video, better audio, less buffering, less dropouts. So your phone just basically, your phone and your devices just work pretty much in a way better way than they would with just the router from your phone company or your cable company. And so check out Villo. I recommend Eero still. I love Eero, but if you want something that's a lot cheaper, Villo is way cheaper than Eero. Now, the other thing to know is that anytime you're going to buy something that's an electronic device, you want to make sure that you're not just buying it immediately. You are kind of watching the price. Now, something like Villo, it goes on sale over, once in a while on Amazon. So definitely set up a price alert on Amazon for that. And you can do that with a website called Camel Camel Camel. And if you want to use a more wide-ranging price tracker, Honey is one I like that works there. So Get Honey, I think, is the website. Let's see. Is it Get Honey? Get Honey. Nope, it's not Get Honey. What is it? JoinHoney.com. So JoinHoney.com. I really like that because it's like a little, you know, it gives you like coupon codes and stuff, but it also helps you track prices as well. And I have all my items on Amazon that I want to purchase on my Honey drop list. And it works. I mean, I get these notifications that are pretty good. And of course, I'll buy it if it's, you know, if the price drops just a little bit. So that's a good question there. Let's go to another question just because I'm feeling very question-y today. Let's see. Patty says, first of all, thank you for your amazing podcast. I rely heavily on it for both the tech topics, but also I listen when I'm running, so it takes my mind off what I'm doing to my body. You're a great distraction and a wealth of knowledge. I appreciate what you do, and I refer to you as my tech guy. Well, thank you, Patty. So my question, you've talked about your Sonos Bluetooth speaker you love, but I can't find your podcast about it. I'd like one for my husband for Christmas because he keeps stealing my Bluetooth speaker. I just need one that's portable to go between his workshop and his brewery. Wow, workshop and brewery. You got quite the man there. That's awesome. I wish I had a brewery and a workshop. Thank you, Patty. So the Sonos that I mentioned, I purchased two of them over the pandemic because it's been that long. But the big one that I started with is called the Sonos Move, and that's a $400 speaker. And then the smaller one that they came out with is the Sonos Roam, and that is a much smaller Bluetooth speaker that they actually raised the price on. This is one of the few times that I've ever seen the price of a gadget increase since I purchased it. I purchased it $169. It's now $179. And Sonos raised prices almost across the board during the pandemic, I guess, citing higher costs and things like that. So the Sonos Roam is the one that I mentioned. This is a much smaller Bluetooth speaker. And here's the thing, Patty. I don't know if I'd recommend the Sonos if you're just using these by themselves. I mean, yes, they work great as a Bluetooth speaker, but the beauty of the Roam and the Move is that they work as part of a bigger Sonos setup. So in my house, I've got Sonos speakers in various rooms. They all play the same stuff together at the same time, or I can play them individually. And so what's cool about the Roam and the Move is that, like, the Move, for instance, I just have in my living room. It's always on the charger. And then when I go out in the backyard and kind of hang out on the patio, I just take the Move with me. And now we've got music outside in the back and I can bring it back in when I come back inside. Same thing with the Roam. We go on vacation or we go to a hotel or we go to the beach and we take the Roam because it works in the house. And then you take it out of the house and it works on Bluetooth. So that's the cost and why they're a little bit more expensive. If you just want a nice Bluetooth speaker for your husband, I would go with something from Ultimate Ears. So That's UE, which is Ultimate Ears, and they've got the a bunch of different speakers, and I think they're all great. So I would go with something like the Wonder Boom 2 or the Boom 3 or the Mega Boom, depending on how much you want to spend and how big your husband wants these speakers. So that's what I would recommend, and yeah, he'll have a great... I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast, because he'll be... now he'll know your secret. All right, Spotify does this thing at the end of every year called Spotify Wrapped. And I'll be honest, I just started using Spotify this year and pretty recently, actually, but I am obsessed. I do really, really like my Spotify. It's funny because I used Apple Music and YouTube Music pretty much exclusively forever. And I always kind of shunned Spotify just because I didn't need it. Like, I paid for Apple, I paid for YouTube, and I wasn't going to pay for a third. And of course, now I am. But, well, I ditched Apple Music because I no longer need it, because I know, so sad. But I hate even saying this, but I ditched it because now Spotify works on my watch. So it used to be only Apple Music would work on the Apple Watch. Now Spotify allows you to download music to the Apple Watch, and so I don't really need to pay for things that overlap. So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that this Spotify Wrapped that comes out every year, this is the first year that I've kind of used Spotify. So I looked at it. I don't really get it, except I did listen to one of the playlists today, which was like my top songs of 2021. And every song that came on, I'm like, oh, I like this song. Oh, I really like this song. I'm like, oh yeah, duh, because it's all the songs that I like throughout the year. So a couple things that they did, and people just love this. They just love the way Spotify presents this, and they love to see what they listen to the most. I'm not the biggest fan of these whole like year-end things. I guess they're kind of cool. They're growing on me. Let's put it that way. But Spotify did a couple of things, including 2021 The Movie, which features your top songs with classic scenes from a movie that's all about you. Then they have your audio aura. We worked with an aura expert to visualize your audio aura based on your top two music moods. Playing Cards is an interactive database game that you play and share with your friends. I don't know what that means. Oh, we'll display several statements about your listening, and you'll have to guess which ones are true. And then the Wrapped Blend, which you can see how your 2021 music tastes match up with your friends. So again, it's all about getting you to be on Spotify more. And so, of course, the Wrapped Hub has the standard stuff, which is your top songs of 2021, your artists revealed, your top tracks and artists, your best new podcasts, and just all kinds of, you know, stuff that... it's a nice way of slicing and dicing your Spotify data, and I think they do a nice job of it. So, very cool. If you have Spotify, check it out. All right. Abel says, I'm trying to purchase a magnetic wireless portable charger for an iPhone 12 Pro Max. Any recommendations would be truly appreciated. Thanks in advance. All right. So, Abel, if you want the standard, it's just Apple's MagSafe charger, and it's... I got to find out what they actually call it. Is it the, let's see, it's like a battery pack. It's called the Apple MagSafe battery pack. So that's the official one. Right now, the standard price is $100, but I've seen it. It's on sale for cheaper, $75 at Best Buy right now. So if you want that, that's according to The Verge, that's the all-time low price. So what these battery packs do is it's a battery, and it sticks to the back of your phone with magnets, and it charges your phone. And what's nice about that is that it's just nice and simple, and it doesn't, you know, you can actually hold your phone and use it. And so these things are like essential. If you have a MagSafe iPhone, which is the iPhone 12 and 13, all the models in that range, then you can attach accessories magnetically to the back of your phone. And so this is one way of doing it. Now, the other one I like, I haven't tested this one, but I know the brand, and I know a lot of people that I know that like it, is the Anker magnetic battery. And this one is a little bit cheaper. It's $55. And again, same concept. It just sticks to the back of your phone and wirelessly and magnetically, sticks to your phone magnetically and wirelessly charges your phone. And so that's really nice. It's just simple. One less cable to carry. And then... I did a segment or a feature on the MyCharge MagSafe battery pack, And I really like this one, and it's called the MagLock. So it's the MagLock MagSafe Power Bank, and they have three different sizes, and they're 30% off right now. So they're you can buy the size that you think is the best for you, that, you know, how much you need for power-wise. So, and just going over the power situation, so they make a 3,000 milliamp hour, a 6,000 milliamp hour, and a 9,000 milliamp hour. The iPhone itself is anywhere between 2 and probably, oh gosh, I think it's like, let's see, iPhone 13 mAh. Let's see how much it is. Oh, wow, the 13 Pro Max is 4,300. So the iPhone is between 3,000 and, let's say, 4,000, 4,500 milliamp hours. So however many milliamp hour batteries you get, that's how many times you're going to charge it. So if you get one that's 3,000 milliamp hours, that's going to top up your phone probably once. If you get a 6,000, that's probably going to top up your phone about twice. If you get the 9,000, that's going to top up your phone about three times. Now, keep in mind, these magnetic batteries are going to be more expensive and charge your phone less than a standard plug-in power bank. Plug-in power banks, you can get like a 10,000 milliamp minimum for like $30, or you can get a 20,000 milliamp, and you know that's just as inexpensive, and it'll charge your phone way more times. So you're paying a little premium for the whole MagSafe situation, but it is definitely more convenient. All right, let's move directions to, this is kind of fun. We did the story today on KTLA. This is a online grocery store that specializes in food that would otherwise go to waste. So it's called Misfits Market. It's out of New Jersey, which, you know, major props to that because I'm from New Jersey. I love my home state. But this Misfits Market, they sent me two boxes of food to test out, and I was very confused. I was like, well, what's it going to look like? You know, is this stuff going to be all messed up? The answer is no. It's imperfect, but that just means that, you know, when you go to the grocery store, what do you do when you're looking at apples? You pick up like five of them and try to pick up the most perfect apple that you purchase. And every person that goes to that grocery store does that over and over until all these apples that have maybe like a little bump on them or a little scrape or they're not perfect, they just don't get purchased. So, and in some cases, these grocery stores don't even take delivery of food that may be seen as imperfect. And so this Misfits Market has a lot of deals with mostly organic food producers to take all this stuff that may not make it to the mainstream grocery stores. And then they sell it at a discount, anywhere from 30 to 50%. And so they sent me two boxes of stuff. I thought it was all great. Yes, some of it looked a little odd. Some of it was a little misshapen. But when you wash this stuff and you cut it up and you cook it up, it's all fine. I mean, we made some really fantastic stuff. We grilled up salmon. We grilled up chicken. Let's see, I made my wife made a veggie medley last night that was just delicious with asparagus and roasted sweet potatoes that were so weird looking. You would never pick them up in the store because you're going to get a sweet potato that like looks perfect. These were all kind of odd shapes. They cooked up just fine. The carrots, I made a salad out of the lettuce and carrots. It was delicious. And again, I wouldn't pick up the bunch of carrots because they were kind of dirty looking and they were smaller than I would get for carrots, but they were perfect. When you clean them all up, they were great. So Misfits Market, they are now delivering to 44 different states, including California as of a couple weeks ago. And the savings are dramatic. I mean, you could really get a pretty big saving, especially if you live in California where food is very expensive. I mean, grocery stores here, you don't realize until you go to a different state that we're paying like basically double the price at grocery stores for the simplest things, like a thing of Heinz ketchup. You know, it might be $3 in New Jersey or, you know, Iowa, and it's $6 here. So it's just the cost of living in California is very, very expensive. And it you get used to it because you kind of forget that you're just, this is what you pay. But then when you go somewhere else, you realize like, wow, this is really pricey. So the other thing about this is not competing with something like an Amazon Fresh, an Instacart. You're not getting this stuff instantly. What you do is you sign up, you build your box throughout the week, and there's a cutoff date on like, let's say whatever date you want, and then they ship your box out 2 days later. So minimum order is $30, shipping is $5.50. Some of the stuff was a little bit broken up when I got my box, but you know that happens. It's you know, when you're shipping something by FedEx, that can happen. But they do use different, depending on your zip code, they use different carriers. So whatever carrier is sort of best for your area. And that's the other big difference, is that they're trying to solve these kind of food waste issues, but also food desert issues. So there's a lot of places in America, if you live in a big city, take for granted that you can get all this stuff delivered. But if you live in other places in America, you may not be able to get food delivery as easily and as competitively priced as somewhere that's near you, or you may not have a grocery store that's near you. And so what Misfits Market is priding itself on is the fact that they deliver to almost every zip code in the states they service. So in California, they deliver to like pretty much every zip code, and that's across the board. So 44 states. I've got a promo code. This is not sponsored or anything. I just asked them, hey, can you give me a promo code? Because I know people are going to want to try it out. RichOnTech30 will give you 30% off your first two boxes, which, by the way, whenever I get a promo code from a company, which, you know, it's few and far between when I ask for that, but when I do, I always say I want the promo code to be the best promo code out there, because I'm not trying to like make affiliate sales. I'm not trying to do any of that stuff. So I'm just trying to get the best deal for you, the listener or the viewer. And so I don't want you to have to go search around and say, well, you know, Rich put this code on here and it's, let me see if there's something better. I don't want you to have to do that. So whenever I'm sharing a promo code, I almost 99.9% of the time ask the company to make sure it is the best promo code available. There may be a similar promo code available, but it's always the best. And so like for this, it's 30% off your first two boxes is better than you can do in pretty much any other code that they have available today. So rest assured, you don't have to go searching around for a better code. But I got to say, I'm going to try this. I tried it, but the thing about me trying it is that typically I like to try things as a quote unquote regular person, where I would order the boxes and do this. But with this one, I just said, send me a box and let me just try it out. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually order as a, you know, pedestrian, as a regular person, and just, you know, see how it is. And I think it's pretty cool. Like if I can get my basics, like lemons, limes, apples, you know, lettuce, celery, like that kind of stuff at these cheaper prices, then I think it's a really cool thing. So Misfits Market. All right, let's get to another question. All right. Erica says, hey, Rich, hope you're well. I have a cell phone question. I've always used Samsung Notes and most recently the S21. Not sure if it's my carrier service, T-Mobile, or my phone, but calls never come in and calls drop. My husband doesn't have this issue. He has an iPhone 7. He doesn't like technology. I recently ordered a Pixel 5a. I'm wondering if the Pixel has Android Auto, as I searched and found different answers. Would you tell me if it will work? This is a deal breaker for me, as I really enjoy Android Auto. Thanks for your techie tips. Happy holidays, Erica. Erica, yes, indeed, the Pixel 5a has Android Auto. Wrong sound effect. Can you tell I run my own show? So yes, it has Android Auto. There's so much like online about this whole Android Auto situation. Android Auto is there. It works. It's fine. I think the thing that they're talking about when it comes to Android Auto is there was a standalone app on Android phones that you could bring up on your phone screen. I think that's gone, but they still have what's called like Android Auto Assistant. They built it into Google Assistant to make it accessible on more phones. And so it's there. It works. If you plug it into your car, you'll still have Android Auto. When it comes to your dropped calls, I don't know. That could be T-Mobile. I'm not really sure. In my experience, every carrier has its pros and cons. I think they all have their weaknesses and strengths in different areas. I mean, I try all three carriers, and believe me, I will say that I think that, I'll just tell you that they all work in various ways in various places. So what I always tell folks is, get a carrier that works where you live and where you work. Those are the two most important things. And if you're on the freeway a lot or the highway, get a carrier that works on the highway a lot. If you're in rural areas, get one that works in rural areas a lot. And that just, it requires a lot of talking to friends and family, and just see what they have and just ask questions. Hey, you have T-Mobile? Does it drop a lot? Do you get a lot of dropped calls? Hey, you have Verizon? Does it work in, you know, rural areas when you're in the woods? Oh, you have AT&T? Does that work at the park that I always go to? So Pixel 5a, I think, is a fantastic phone. I would definitely go with that phone, and I think you're going to love it. I think it's a really solid device. All right, let's just go right to another question. Let's see. Again, I don't know if I can... Oh, interesting. This person's term is CSI Miami show. Maybe they work on CSI Miami. I was trying to watch a special program on USA Network. I downloaded the USA Network, and I still couldn't get the show I wanted to watch. The advertisement for the show was USA Network. I even tried downloading the NBC app on my Amazon Fire Stick, and nothing. All it kept telling me is a list of providers. The only thing I have is an indoor antenna and the Fire Stick. I even contacted NBC, and they couldn't help me. Do you have any idea what I did wrong? Thank you. Yes, I do have an idea what you did wrong. You can't just download these apps and, well, it depends on the app. If it's a cable, a streaming cable TV app, like a cable channel, most of the time you need to subscribe to that channel in some way to actually watch it. And I know this is a totally convoluted system, and we are in an in-between stage right now with these channels. So right now, cable channels make their money by having cable subscribers. So USA Network is not its own little business that's standalone that can just exist on its own. They can exist because they get a dollar from every person that has Comcast or Verizon Fios or DirecTV, all these different Spectrum. These cable channels make money that way. They don't, in most cases, have a standalone app with their own subscription because they're still trying to figure out that side of the business. So why they're showing you that list of providers is because you need to subscribe to some sort of cable streaming service to get access to that USA Network. The access is free if you are a subscriber to a cable package. And so what I would do if you want USA Network, I just did a quick search. It seems like Sling TV is probably your easiest and cheapest, but I would search untangle.tv and see which streaming service carries USA Network for the cheapest. I think it's going to be Sling, but that's what I would do. But this is a major, major issue. I get these questions all the time. People are so confused about how to access anything today on streaming because you've got so many different services and they all require something different. So, I mean, if you're getting a bundle of cable channels, you get and you watch them and you download that app and you can watch them live. And then if you want to get the channels, you got it. Sometimes you'd subscribe to a cable service. It doesn't give you access to the login on the channel. So you really have to do your homework with this stuff. And I always tell people, you know, untangle.tv is great. Another way to do it is just Google the name of the show. So if you want to watch, what's like a popular show? What's a popular TV show right now? Let's just see. I have no idea because I only watch one show at a time. Okay, let's say you want to watch Yellowstone. How to watch Yellowstone streaming. Okay, you Google that, and there's these bloggers that write about how to see the show. And Marie on the Facebook is saying she loves the Real Good app, which I have recommended many times. I love that. That's another way that you can do it. But this is a simpler way. That's just an easy way to Google it. And so they say, streaming. While Yellowstone isn't currently on Netflix or Hulu, the first three seasons are all available to stream on Peacock or for purchase through Amazon Prime. Despite what you might assume, given that the show is on the Paramount Network, it's not currently available through the Paramount Plus streaming service. So there you go. And I would also cross-reference what they said with what other people say. So I'd always read two articles because sometimes they might get it wrong. But that's the main thing, is that you just have to kind of search around to see. But with movies especially, I love the Real Good app. That's what I use to figure out. And believe me, I am kind of a stickler when it comes to not paying for content. My wife was like, oh, this new Encanto movie that's a Disney movie. She's like, it's getting really good reviews. And I said, is it streaming? Because guess what? I'm not paying for the movies. She said, what? She goes, we haven't been to the movie theater in 2 years. I said, I don't care. I said, I pay for too many streaming services. I'm not paying for, you know, tickets to the movies. She's like, well, what if we go to like a matinee? I'm like, all right, maybe we'll go to the matinee of Encanto. But I can't. It's so tough for me because I pay for so many streaming services that I want all of my content to be included in those streaming services. So I've been known to subscribe to a streaming service for a month just to get the show that we want to watch or the movie. Like we watched Clifford, the Big Red Dog, and that was on Paramount Plus. And so I searched for a deal on a free trial for Paramount Plus. And it's interesting because I actually had a free trial on Paramount Plus, but if I subscribed through a different way, which I think ended up being Google Play, I could do the free trial again. So it does take a little work sometimes. I might be a little bit more of a stickler than most people because I feel like, you know, we're paying for so many things. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're getting our money's worth. And so that's why I do it. All right, let me talk about some of the things that I wanted to talk about on this show. So let's see. We went through the interview with Tim Cook. Oh, the book I'm reading right now. This is a, speaking of something that I purchased. So this was an example of, I couldn't get a free trial. So I've done so many Audible free trials over the years. And I guess Audible finally cut me off and they said, all right, no more, no more, no more free trials for you. And so I wanted to read this new book by Gary Vaynerchuk. And I say read, I'm actually going to listen to this one. But it's called 12 and a half, and it's about the emotional ingredients necessary for business success. And he goes over sort of 12 things that he's identified that are essential if you want to be good in business. And good in business means anything. You can be good as an employee, good as a manager, good as just, you know, regular person like in my job. And so far, anyway, so I paid the $15 on Audible for a free month, for a month of service, which gives you a credit that you can use towards a audiobook. And so I bought this and I've been listening to it. And I got to say, I am very, very impressed so far. The first like element was gratitude. And I'll be honest, I've heard the word gratitude so many times in my life. I mean, more than I can talk in the past 5 years, right? Like I never even, growing up, you never heard the term gratitude. Well, I didn't, but you know, and for me, I was probably first exposed to it just a couple of years ago. And I maybe vaguely knew what it was, but not really. And so I never heard anyone explain what gratitude was better than Gary Vaynerchuk. And he explained this to me. And I have honestly, in the past 24 hours, realized how fortunate I am in life, more so than I ever have before. And so that kind of, his point is that can drive how you are as a human and how you are as an employee or a business person. And I will say that I don't know, like the gratitude, like it goes into almost every thought that I have right now. And it's because of this book. And so I highly recommend this book. If you're, you know, I don't need you to be like hustling on the side project and all this stuff, but like if you're just trying to be a better employee, a better human, a better person, a better worker, a better manager, a better anything, I really, really like this book because it you know, I was wondering if it would apply to me because I'm like, well, I'm not like a big entrepreneur or big whatever, but it so far has been right on point. And so it's called 12 and a half. I really, really like it. Gary Vaynerchuk is one of my favorites. By the way, grew up in New Jersey. He is an immigrant, but he grew up in New Jersey when his family came here to the U.S. From, I believe it was like, I think he said Belarus in the Soviet Union. A great story and just someone I followed for many years and such a great guy. I actually had the chance to interview him many years ago. And at that point, I wasn't really as familiar with the power of Gary Vee. And now I wish I got to go back to that interview because I think at the end of the interview, he asked if we wanted to like have a sip of wine together because that's his big thing is he had a wine business. And I was like so meek and like whatever that I was kind of like, I can't drink on the job. And I had like one little sip. Maybe I cheers with him. I don't even think I drank it. And I just, what a missed opportunity. I mean, Rich DeMuro of, that was like 10 years ago. What were you thinking? You were sitting with Gary Vaynerchuk and he said, you want a toast? And I faked it. Like what? Why would I do that? So I'm a very different person than I was 10 years ago. So I'd be like, Gary, clear your schedule. Let's split the bottle and let me just pick your brain for the next hour and a half. Anyway, 12 and a half, great book, highly recommend it. And this is one of those books that you can listen to. It's just so easy to hear Gary speak and listen to this book. And I'm going to actually re-listen to this book. I think every other year or every year because as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. That's so good. I need to remind myself year in, year out just of some of these emotional ingredients. Some of the other ones are like empathy. And yeah, you're like, Rich, what? These are not the standard business school things that they teach you. No, it's not. And that's the whole point is that you're learning the extra, you know, the stuff that you don't necessarily learn in business school. And it's stuff that really does come into play in every aspect of your life. And so, anyway, now, by the way, Gary's last book, Crushing It, was the book that made me write my book, the iPhone Tips book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, which was my first book. And then I wrote a second book. And both those books were very, very successful on Amazon. I self-published those and I had no idea just how successful they would be. And I wish I kept going. There were some issues with continuing to go, to continue to write new books, which hopefully maybe I'll resolve in the future, but I just couldn't do those with my current position. Well, I don't want to get into it. Anyway, that's we'll leave it at that. But anyway, my books were very successful. People that bought them, they still have 4.5 stars on Amazon. I mean, it's really just that was an amazing experience. And I should write a book about that experience because it was so cool. The other thing I did this week was I upgraded my Tesla to the self-driving package. It's weird. There's like 3 levels of self-driving, or I should say autopilot on the Tesla. The first is what comes with the car standard, which just kind of keeps you in your lane and keeps you at a standard distance from the car in front of you. The second is what I subscribe to, which is pretty much autopilot navigation, which will change lanes by itself. It will, you know, keep the speed. It will basically drive the car for you and also switch freeways. So if you have to go from, you know, let's say in LA, the 101 to the 110, it will change lanes and continue on that route. So it's really like driving itself. But it's not full self-driving. So it doesn't do it on city streets. That's called full self-driving. That's in beta. And that's included in this, but I don't have it just yet. You have to request that. So my thoughts on the self-driving situation are, honestly, I'm not ready for it. It's not fully there yet. I don't trust the car to drive itself enough in a big enough way that I can relax when it's in this full self-driving mode. And I think that the standard autopilot that the Tesla comes with is just sufficient for me. There is one feature I do like on the upper level, which, by the way, this was $200 for the month, $220 with tax here in California. But the feature that I like is that when you put the blinker on, it'll change lanes automatically. So you don't have to like really think about changing lanes. It will notice when there's an opening and it will change. And it's kind of aggressive when it changes lanes. And it's kind of all over the place too. If like in LA, when you put your blinker on to signal a lane change, people like to push into that lane immediately or not let you go because it's like, I don't know, it's this weird aggression thing that I don't have. When someone puts on their blinker, and I should mention, and I've probably mentioned this before, I'm a very easygoing driver. In fact, probably to a detriment because people get behind me and they're like, oh, you're in the fast lane, you're going so slow. And I'm like, I just want to be safe and I don't really care. I time out my trip, so I'm going the speed limit. I know I'm going to arrive on time. I don't need to be one of those people that wings in and out of traffic. That's just me. I just don't like that kind of driving. So personally, I'm a pretty boring driver. So I just feel like the Tesla is a little bit kind of all over the place when it comes to how it approaches driving. And it's just, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It is what these engineers have come up with is just mind-boggling. But as a human being driving a car, it's really tough to cede some of that power to a computer, but also at the same time, your car is telling you that you must be in charge at all times, even though the computer is also in charge. So it's this weird power struggle that is just, our brain is not programmed for that power struggle. Because this is the weird part about the auto drive is that it says every like 15, 30 seconds, hey, put your hands on the wheel, make sure you're driving, even though we're driving. So it's like, well, what do you want? Am I driving or are you driving? And so it's this really weird like psychological warfare when it comes to the autopilot that your brain is like, it can never fully relax because it has to be ready to take action at any time. But at the same time, the whole point is that your brain can relax a little bit because the car is driving. So until we can get to this, you know, higher level of autonomous driving, I feel like it's just simpler to drive yourself, use some of these basic things. Like I think that the keep in the lane feature, following the lane feature, and also the speed auto adjust, you know, cruise control is amazing. It's great. I use it every day. But I think that the actual like self-driving of the car, like from point to point, is not good until it can actually really, really take control of the car and without a shadow of a doubt be in control and be really good at it. All right. Do we want to take another question? Let's take another question. All right. Juliana says, hey, Rich, I always appreciate your insight on all things tech, but I'm wondering if you have a credit card preference to get the most points and rewards. I thought Amex Platinum would be better than the Delta Amex, but I feel like I'm not getting as many points as I should. I fly Delta monthly for work, so I do have a loyalty there. Do you already have an article about these credit cards, and which one do you recommend? Thank you. I also have the Chase Sapphire Reserve, but really wanted access to the Delta Lounge at LAX Terminal 2. Which is your favorite credit card? Juliana, this might surprise you. It might. I have to take a sip of water there to actually get through this. But this might surprise you, but I actually don't. I don't recommend credit cards. I don't play the points game. And I know it's weird because I'm totally missing out on many, many, many points. But I use, okay, so I will go through what I do for my credit and debit situation. So my number one thing is that I don't use a credit card for the points. And it's, yes, I have in the past. I do put stuff on my credit card. I do have a credit card. But my feeling with a credit card is that you inherently spend more money. And that's not my original thought. I am a Dave Ramsey follower, and Dave Ramsey is all about debit, debit, debit. And so I'm a little bit of a blend. I'm realistic as well. I do like my credit card because I think it puts a little bit of a buffer between me and certain things. And sometimes I think that's important. And so here is my reasoning when it comes to credit cards. Number one, get the best one for your situation. So for your situation, if you are flying Delta on a monthly basis with your company, I would say the Delta Amex is probably a great card for you because anything that you put on there with Delta is going to give you multiple points, and it's also going to give you perks, like if you want to get into the lounge. And that's it. I would say one credit card is perfect. That's all you need. If you're juggling multiple credit cards, it's really tough to keep track, and it's too much math for me. And honestly, these credit card companies employ data scientists and mathematicians and marketing geniuses that are all way better than what Rich DeMuro's little brain can process. So in my brain, all it thinks about when I use a credit card is how many points did I just get? When I'd like to train my brain to say how much money did I just spend and could I make that less money? And so I know this is totally radical thinking that 99.9% of people don't do or don't care to do, but this is the way that I think because I honestly want to retire, in life with some money and, some money to leave to my kids. And I'd rather have that for my kids than Amex. Amex is way too smart of a company and they're going to outsmart me every time. And so, yes, I love the Platinum card. I think it looks amazing. I see the ads for it in the airport. I want to sign up for it every time I see it. But I just keep a basic, I keep a nice card. I do have a nice credit card, but it's basic. It's a Visa and it's simple and I get my points when I use it, but I don't go out of my way to use it. Now, with that said, here's my rules for how I use my cards. If my card leaves my hand, it is going to be two ways. It's going to be, if my card leaves my hand, it's going to be okay, sorry, let me start at the base. So when I am presented with an opportunity to use my, to pay for something, if I am paying, if I'm paying in person, it's always going to be mobile pay, which is tap to pay, and that's going to be using my debit card. And the reason I like tap to pay is because it does not share my debit card number with the merchant. It shares a one-time card number that works, and then that's it. It's gone into the ether. If I am putting a card in the dipper, in the slot, if I am physically doing it, I'm going to use my debit card. If that's the only way. Because again, that little chip on my card means that it's sharing a one-time code and it's not sharing my actual debit card number. And that's it. And I'm using my debit card, hopefully with a PIN so that it takes the money out immediately and I can see my updated balance. Now, the other thing I do is I use my credit card if my card is physically leaving my hand. So when my card is leaving my hand, that has a couple different meanings. When I'm shopping online, my card is leaving my hand. So I do use my credit card online because that card number, when you type it in, is just, it's out there. Now, yes, the sites are safe, they're secure. You can probably use a debit card and be safe, but I'd rather use a credit card because I'd rather just have my stuff protected. Now, the other place I use a credit card is typically with travel. If I'm traveling and, you know, buying an airline ticket or a hotel room or anything that requires a deposit, I will use my credit card because there's just a little barrier. Plus things like a rental car, I've got rental car protection and stuff like that. So that's when I use my credit card. Especially at restaurants, if it's leaving my hand, I will give them my credit card because they can go to the back, take a picture of my card, and boom, there goes my number. So that's my thought. Now, if I'm at a restaurant and they have these newfangled, you know, tap to pay, or I do my own transaction, which I absolutely love. I was at PF Chang's the other night and they had a QR code on the receipt that you would scan and then you would pay your bill through that with Apple Pay. I loved it. It was the coolest situation ever. I was like, this is amazing. And yes, on that dinner, I gave up, 300 points or whatever I would get with my credit card. But I like spending on my debit card because it hurts. It really hurts for me to spend my hard-earned cash. And so when I use my debit card, I feel that pain. And when I feel that pain, it makes me want to spend less money. When I use my credit card, I'm like, woohoo, credit card, swipe, dip, chip, dip, whatever. It feels so good to use my credit card because I know I'm getting all those points on the back end and they feel so good because I'm redeeming them for free travel. You know, you get all these points on your card and it's like when you really do the math, it's like $100. And so it's like, I would rather just save $100 and not go through the whole pain and suffering of this whole credit card situation. Anyway, I know it's way longer of an answer than you wanted, Juliana, but my bottom line is that pick one credit card that works for you, pick one debit card, and lean on debit, lean on tap to pay with your debit card. And I'm telling you, you'll save money. I'm telling you, people just say like, well, no, that's not true, Rich. You get the points. But what you forget is that you just spend a certain percentage more with your credit card. When I go to Target and I know I'm using my credit card, I know that I'm just going to spend more because it just doesn't feel like real money. When I use my debit card, you have to like pry that money out of my hand. I'm like going into that machine. I'm like, did we really spend that much? Why did we spend so much? Can I put something, I'm putting back like a pack of gum because I'm like, a dollar less. Here we go. So anyway, hey, you know what? You're listening to the Rich on Tech podcast. So you're going to get rich on tech. This is my thought process. I know it's unique. I know it's not for everyone, but you tuned into me and that's what you get. So thank you for the question. I think that is a great question. And there you have it. All right, let's get to one final question. Greg says, Rich, I live in an old apartment with no smart devices. I saw some smart plugs on Amazon. I'm wondering if old devices can be plugged into them and make them smart. Thinking not, but your recommendation, what is it? Thanks. And, that was Greg. Okay. So, Greg, yes, you can make old devices smart. In fact, there's a lot of, light switches that you can use to put in your wall that will help you dim lights and things like that, as long as the lights are dimmable. But yeah, these smart plugs, I just bought a whole bunch of them at the Amazon store and I've been using them for the holiday decorations, but I like the ones from TP-Link. Very inexpensive. They're always on sale on Amazon, but yeah, get a couple of these and you can plug. People have even plugged like, appliances into them. You just have to be careful with the appliances to understand the wattage. And I'm not like an expert in like electricity, but I know that some things are rated too high for the plug that you're plugging them into. So these smart plugs on the side of the box, it will tell you kind of like what the amperages or whatever it says. You just need to kind of check that against your appliance. So if you're plugging in something that's like a box fan or something, just make sure that the plug you're putting it into can handle that, the whatever it is, like the wattage, the voltage, whatever it is, just make sure that those two things align. But yeah, in fact, I've been having a ton of fun. I set up all the Christmas lights in my house and outside to work with Alex A. And I come home and I say, Merry Christmas, Alex A. And boom, all the lights come on. And the babysitter was over the other day and I did this and she was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And so I was like, yeah, it's just my, my Alex A routine. And then for the outside lights, I have them come on at a certain time. I think it's dusk. And then I have them go off at a certain time and it's all through a smart plug. And so I did notice with a couple of the smart plugs that some of them are more responsive than others, but so far the TP-Links that I have in my place have actually worked just perfectly. And so no problems whatsoever. I can highly recommend those. They work fantastically. So go check them out. Oh my gosh. Is it already that time? You know what that sound means? That sound means it is the end of the show. Oh my gosh, I didn't even get to talk about the song I'm listening to. Check out Missing Piece by Vance Joy. I love this song. It just gets me in such a great, great mindset. Great, great song. I didn't talk about the Rivian, but I'll talk about that on the next show, I guess, because I got to test drive another electric car. It was awesome. That's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you'd like to submit a question for me to answer, just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Hit the big blue send email button or go to richontech.tv. Hit the email icon. If you would like to rate and review this podcast, just go to the listening app of your choice and write a quick line about what you like about this show to help other people understand why they should listen. That's key. Why should people listen to this show? That's going to be the magical answer that unlocks them subscribing. You can find me on social media. I am at Rich on Tech. And please, if you like me on social media and you choose to follow me, please actually engage with my stuff, right? If you're just kind of following just to be like a looky-loo, whatever, then you know what? I don't want a lot of followers. I just want quality followers that are really engaging in my stuff. And that, I think, helps out the whole situation. No matter where you live in the U.S., you can download the free KTLA Plus app on Apple TV, Fire TV, and Roku. Once you do, scroll to the technology section, and there you can watch all of my amazing TV segments on demand. I think they're amazing. Hopefully you do too. My name is Rich DeMuro. If you're on Facebook Live, stick around. I'll answer and chat with you after the live show ends. Or the podcast, I should say. Thanks so much for listening. There are so many ways you can spend an hour of your precious time. I do appreciate you spending it with me. My name is Rich DeMuro. I will talk to you real soon.